We are back to Philippians after Christmas and the solas, so Philippians 3, verse 15, turn there. I don't want to get done with Philippians, I'm going slow, but we're moving on. Philippians 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Let's pray. Lord, to reach a standard, to be right, is a great blessing of your grace. And Lord, to give that up would just be ridiculous. And so Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to the truth, faithful to the standard that you give us to keep. And those who press on to know and to experience all that you have given us to know and to be enriched by, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Very familiar verse in Proverbs. I don't know if Mike's got to do it yet. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit. A haughty spirit, a haughtiness, is evidenced by a disdainful attitude of scorn and derision. If somebody's haughty on you, they don't like you very much. They don't think much of you. They think a lot of themselves, not of you. A lot of intimidation is in the category of the haughty. Essentially, it says that they have arrived at a higher place of enlightenment. And look at you. Oh, how miserable you lesser folks are. You know, Jesus stooped to the lowly. Our Lord, tax collectors, harlots, sinners, the highfalutin, they irritated him. He spoke to them, but he didn't hang with them. And so the haughty have disdain and disapproval of you, and yet our Lord Jesus stooped to the lowly. Pride is the other thing in that verse in Proverbs, is the opposite of humility. It's also the opposite of wisdom. Pride is the necklace, Psalm 73 says, that the wicked man wears. He wears pride as a necklace. It's like he's showing off his stature. The rich are often accused of that. Their money makes them proud and distant and aloof. The imagination of the wicked, Psalm 73 says, their heart, the imagination of their heart run riot. They imagine, and then they ignite it. They think crazy stuff, and then they set it on fire. The imaginations of their heart run riot. You can't even lose weight today without people accusing you of fat shaming others because they can't lose weight. If you sat down with the craziest people on earth in a room, you could not get more crazy than we are right now. And it is because the wicked do not have a foundation in the Word of God. They don't have a foundation in truth. Their foundation is their imagination, and it runs riot. It's destructive. Pride goes before destruction. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression, Psalm 73 says. They're the best for us, they think, not God. The wicked think that if we go their way, society will be healed. Have you noticed that every single thing the world has attempted to do for the last, let's just use our lives, 100 years, has failed? It has not worked. Everything is, to them, we can do better, but they don't. They mock, speak of oppression. You see, they're so much higher than the common man, and they want to oppress the common man. And some people who are odious today used to be pleasant. Some people were not born odious, they became odious. If you set meat out, at first it's not odious. If you set it out for a month or two, it becomes that way. Some people grow odious. They get the big head. And they fall from their high and lofty place. I've never been drunk. I get a Diet Mountain Dew buzz every now and then. I've never been drunk. I haven't drunk anything to get drunk on. But I've seen drunk people, and the more they drink, it seems the smarter they get to themselves. And they end up just falling over. If they try to do normal things, they plop down on the ground. And so it is with the proud, with the haughty. Now, Paul is concerned here that we not turn our Christian achievements into something rotten. Notice he says here that we're talking about maintaining, verse 16, a standard which we've obtained. Being satisfied and content with truth. And a lot of people are not satisfied, and they begin well, and then they turn rotten. Russian weightlifters used to get bonuses from Soviet Russia when they broke weightlifting records. So they would say it's 800 pounds. Then they would lift for 800 pounds and 1 ounce. That would break a record. They'd get some. Then they would do the next one at 2 ounces. So they keep moving up to a new standard, which is fine if you're a Russian weightlifter. But it was not really that big of a thing. But they were not satisfied on their previous record. They wanted more. Well, a lot of professing believers are not satisfied with the truth. The Bible, the things that God tells us, they're not new and fancy to the world. And you would think you would never talk about such a thing as what this verse talks about. That we would get back away from where we've attained. But unfortunately, it happens all the time. People fall back. Churches fall back. Schools fall back. Schools used to teach the Bible, don't anymore. Churches used to preach the word, don't anymore. Christians, professing at least, at one time said they would follow Jesus, don't anymore. What happened? It's a danger all the time. Not something that's rare. Unfortunately, something that's all too common. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this. Paul says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. What's more important than our budget, our attendance, our power, status, is that we are supporting the truth. If we have zillions of dollars to spend, and give even, and don't have truth, it's nothing. This is what God made the church for, to support the truth, a place where the truth would be heard. At times in history, people make up things that aren't true to motivate people. During the Crusades, the Catholic Church had priests with the men to throw holy water on them before they went to battle. Research has been done that if you received holy water splashed on you by the priest and then went into battle, when you died, you had little wet spots on you. That's all it got you. It's of nothing. Allah is actually a God created by Muhammad to motivate the, you know, Arabs to fight and believe that if they died in battle, they would go into paradise. Same as today with the stuff they do. But since it's not according to truth, it is a disaster. This is always the thing. You find a book someone has written, and it's solid, good doctrine. And then the next version is not. They've gone away in that length of time. And they're authors, teachers, professors, preachers. My grandmother called it getting too big for your britches. She told me I was too big for my britches. Sometimes. It means you got the big head. You're acting like you're greater than you are. So the question is, can we gain in the Christian life and maintain our rightful place with God? Well, first of all, look at the attitude. Paul says in verse 15, "Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude." What is this attitude? We have to go back for that. This attitude is like the foundation of a house. That's how much I know about building a house, is you have to square up the foundation. I've watched it done. If I tried to do it, it would not be done. I do know that what you do is you get a piece of wood, and somebody has a level, and they pull on something, and then suddenly someone says, "Nail it!" And it squares it up somehow. And so they get the post up, and they square it up, and it's square. That's where I would lose the game. it's a neat thing. I know what they're doing. But you square the foundation. What's the attitude? Well, verse 13, if you go back. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Well, that's the attitude. The attitude of not thinking we've become perfect. Verse 13. The attitude of forgetting what lies behind. You know, not taking pride in accomplishments that were outside the will of God. The attitude of reaching forward to what lies ahead and pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That attitude, which we see in verse 14. So you set your attitude right, you can then go in the right way. And the reason you can't get people to do things is mostly because they don't have the attitude to do it. They don't have the foundation to do it. You can't make them want to. You can't make them just do it, because they don't. It's not in them to do it, because they're not saved and their attitude is not set. It's the same for Christians. We have to have our attitude set. And so that's the beginning here. And then he mentions in that, as many as are perfect. Are you perfect? Well, perfect refers to maturity. Are you mature? It's not absolute perfection. It's relative perfection to the standards of mature behavior. Little children are not mature. They've not learned enough. They've not been skilled enough. They've not been practiced enough in it and trained enough in it. But when you're mature, you can do things in a proper way in the sight of God. So, a mature person, as judged by the Word of God, acts according to what is wisdom and understanding and knowledge given to us by the Lord. Now, I mentioned the Methodist Church of Great Britain recently, who've decided not to use husband and wife in their discussions with people, because some people are husband and wife and whatever. But that's not mature. That's childish. Because they're not holding to the Word of God. And by not holding to the Word of God, they make themselves out to be silly, simple. But the mature are those who are practicing the Word of God with wisdom and knowledge and experience. And so the proper attitude is the start of the proper behavior. If your attitude is that you know everything, you're unteachable. If your attitude is that you're better than others, you're insufferable. In Luke 18, verse 10, Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Our world pursues that which would glorify themselves. The humble seek that which would be pleasing to the Lord. But there are many insufferable people. You can't talk to them because they know everything already. Bad attitude means you're not really where you think you are. That you don't really know what you think you know. There's that drunkenness that has nothing to do with liquor. I have never had a shot of liquor, like I said. But, you know, I know that it increases your eyesight. Because if one person walks up, or the lady walked up to a drunk and said, she said, you're drunk. And he said, I'm not drunk, you two are drunk. So his eyesight was doubled. Because there's only one of them there. Well, mature people are correctable and teachable. Look what it says. If in anything, verse 15, if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. If you're teachable, you're saying, Lord, show me how to do it better or right if I'm off. Your attitude, you're teachable. You can tell somebody, this is what the Lord wants. James says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God can't even stand proud people more than we. And so, the maturity, a truly mature person has a built-in safety mechanism to protect them from foolishness, because they stay within the bounds of the Word of God. Once we wander from that, we're foolish. Well, thirdly, then, the thing that's mentioned here is the standard. The standard is mentioned. Verse 16, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which you have attained. A level of accomplishment, a level of where you have risen to. So hold to the standard that you attained. If you go to the beach, if you drive to the beach, what most people seem to do is once you get to the beach, you stay at the beach. You don't just turn around and go back. You don't rebound. You don't bounce back. You get to the beach, you're there to the beach, you're going to vacation for a week, you arrive at the beach, and you stay at that place you have attained. And you have your vacation. Well, we are to stay at the place where we have attained. The Christian life starts as babies. We're babies. We're babes in Christ. Even if we're older, we don't know sometimes the basic things of God. Everything's new. We're figuring things out. We're learning from the Scriptures. Then we gain knowledge and character as we walk with God. We discover things about the Lord. And we, here in Philippians 3, discover that the Lord wants us to have every blessing that He's given us in Christ. He wants us to lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of us to have. Your mom got you something to wear, she wanted you to wear it. She got it for you for Christmas. Maybe it wasn't a toy that you wanted, it was clothes, she wanted you to wear it. Christ wants us to have all that He has saved us to have and given us in Christ. So we start to grow in stature and confidence and usefulness. And we attain a certain level of maturity and competence. And we're to stay there. This is different than styles. Styles change. Hairstyles change. Fashion styles change. That's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. It just changes. It's kind of interesting. Notice how it changes throughout the world. But truth does not change. And that's the difference here. The standard is the absolute truth of God to which we are to gain and stay on. Now, Paul gives two connecting exhortations here. He says that we should keep pressing on, just above we saw, press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we're to have that attitude to press on. We're to press on and go higher. No more. So I mentioned to the young people. The young people can read the Bible now. They can get years and years and years of experience and knowledge in the Word of God and be ahead of the game. And as they enter into later life, they've got wisdom that they would not otherwise have. So go higher. But he also says to keep the same standard while you press on. To go upward, not wayward. That may seem like a unnecessary exhortation, but it is very necessary. So many people, they grow, they get to a place, and then they get dissatisfied. They get wooed off of that place. They get tempted off of it, and then they go wayward instead of upward. They usually think they're still good. It's very deceptive. We're not called to be stagnant and lazy and unproductive. We're not to be at that place and just do nothing. We're not slugs. But we're also not called to grow away from the standard of truth. There are a lot of fancy new things that come along. We're not to wander from the truth to serve them. We're exhorted to keep the same standard as we go higher. As you know, I don't care much for heights. Don't care anything for heights. So if I'm climbing a mountain, there must be a Best Buy up there or something. Because I'm not going to normally do that. But at the bottom of the mountain, if I'm stepping carefully, making sure I don't even when it's I'm at a very low altitude, that I'm not going to step off somewhere. Then when I get up there, I'm going to be extra careful not to be taking a misstep. Well, in our Christian life, if we're stepping carefully to get up higher, well, we've got to step even more carefully when we are higher. Because we're still in the flesh. We're still far from perfect. And as we go higher, we're to maintain the same standard of truth. And why is this important? Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's this sense when you get to where you just assume you're okay. That's what happens to people out here that do roofing. Some people do roofing, they forget where they are. So they're nailing, backing, and they fall off the roof. Because they didn't take heed where they were. Now Paul gave this exhortation in light of Israel's privileges. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Speaking of Israel in the wilderness. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did. 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Israel was an example. What not to do? The place they attained, they could not stay to it. They got out of Egypt, they could not stay there. They were delivered through the Red Sea, they could not be satisfied with that. God wanted to take them into the promised land? No, they couldn't have it. In every case, the progress they made, they hindered. Because they got off the standard. Jude, in writing a book where so many were falling away, and he was telling them to stand firm, in the benediction says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. See, the Lord is able to keep us from falling. And honestly, people are falling off the wagon left and right. Always disappointing, not surprising, I guess, but very disappointing. You hear somebody who used to be good and it's not anymore. A church that used to preach the gospel doesn't anymore. A school that used to teach students about the Bible don't anymore. They've given that up. Our eyes have to be on Jesus or we'll be discouraged. Can't keep them on people because somebody's falling off the wagon while I'm talking. Now, the Bible teaches that the saved will never fully and finally fall away. If you're saved, you're not going to fall to perdition. However, we can stumble. We can reap bad consequences by getting off the standard. Believers are light and salt. We have a standard. We're to be light and salt and give out a fragrance and a brightness in our lives that influence others for good. But we can't fall off the standard. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. I believe probably my estimation, a lot more Christians, Republicans, or Democrats, but it doesn't matter. That'll change, possibly. And not all Republicans are good, and not all Democrats are bad. We're not on that. That's not the standard. The standard is the Word of God, the truth. certainly not politics. We don't slide along with society into the ditch. Some people, in order to conform, are destroying their own children. They're offering their own children as sacrifices to conform to a societal morality or immorality, that their children can be some other gender. And so they're having them chemically altered as children in order to hold to that conformity, to conform to that standard that the world now says is normal and good and right. That's how bad it is. We don't affirm falsehood and wickedness. People like to intimidate us by saying they're educated. They've studied a lot. They've written books. You know, scientists for a long time now have said that they've proven that the world evolved naturally. So what are we supposed to do with that? These are the people we're supposed to look up to? It has to be the Lord. We don't alter the gospel appeal, or the required response of repentance. We tell people that you believe the gospel, you can be saved. We all take pills probably. I don't know, Mike, you might not take pills. But I take pills. I took some this morning. What if the label said, you don't have to take the pill. You can sleep with the pill. Just take the bottle. When you go to bed, lay it beside you and sleep with the pill. That'll work. Well, of course it won't work. But you know, it would not surprise me if we don't get around to something like that in this society these days. Because we're not being told the truth. We're being told things that people are making up. And the gospel is said to, you know, we never turn to, the world never turns to the gospel. And all these things go bad, and it never turns to the gospel. But we know better than that. We don't grow our churches on marketing techniques and entertainment. I mean, we don't. A lot of people have decided that, well, we can't get people to come to church by being saved. We'll get them to come to church by being unsaved. And then we'll count all that up as a successful thing. The gospel still needs to be believed. Regeneration still needs to take place. People still need to be born again. And a lot of people have wandered from that just to get numbers. A couple of sayings I'll close with. We've heard all our lives. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. The moral of that is to say that it just looks that way. It's not really. It always is. Means it looks, because it's different, it's over there. But as far as we're concerned with our walk with God, the grass is fine where we are. The other one is the dog, you know, that had the bone and looked at the bone in the creek and on the bridge and saw the bone in the creek reflection was bigger than the bone in his mouth. So he opened his mouth to get the other bone and lost them both. Well, similarly, I would say, your food, your bone right now is perfect in truth. God even says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. We're fine where we are. But we want to keep growing on that foundation. Pressing on. So don't be intimidated. Don't be ashamed. Don't feel backward. Don't feel small. In truth, you're fine where you are and you never will be fine anywhere else. Let's pray. Lord, it's a warning to us given. We thank you for that given to us, knowing, Lord, how we are and you knowing us as you do. But Lord, we can take something good, something great even, and mess it up. We hear about it a lot in Hollywood. We hear actors and actresses doing this. But Lord, it's not just them. It's a church people. Oh yeah, we're going to be firmly committed to the church and firmly committed to Jesus, and it doesn't last even a month or two. So Lord, we pray that we would be solid and we would be content with that and not wander ever from the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.